Has been good to be here. I'm challenged. You are a challenge to my life. And so, appreciate what you shared, Brother Aaron and Samuel. One of the things that I meant to bring out one of the first nights was as far as the sacredness of Christ and what he did for the body, for the church, and all that. And sometimes we look at the Old Testament and we see all the people that miss God, or that, like Saul, even Moses. And we wonder, was God not a little bit harsh? Do you ever wonder that? That's when we need to see the sacredness of God and his body. To bring that in line. God was not harsh. God wouldn't have been harsh to strike us all dead, because he's the one that created us for his glory, and we just messed it up. And so, but if we don't see who God is, and we don't see the holiness of God, we can tend to wonder if he was not a little bit harsh sometimes with some of these people. Moses, all that he did, and all the years he bore the children of Israel and just interceded for them, and at the end he missed it himself to go in the promised land. But God is God. God is holy. God is altogether right. He's just. Doesn't mean he's fair always, as we look at it, but he is just. And we'll have to let him be God. And so, the treasure house of God, how inexhaustible this treasure house is. Our Heavenly Father loves to give to his children. But again, he waits for us to see our need. We have some young men here tonight, this afternoon. I don't know what you call them. But, you know, sometimes young men can be asleep. They don't see their need. All of a sudden, God wakes them up, and they see that they're lonely. They need companionship. And that's the way God is. He waits till we see our need. Then he moves if we respond to him. So how near God is to us when we're willing to draw near to him? He tells us that. You draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. That's his heart. He wants to do that. He loves to draw near to us when we draw near to him. And again, I have a lot of scripture. I'm just going to start in James chapter 4. I don't think I ever preached that I used as much scripture, but I don't know what made me do that. I'm totally fine with that. God's word is powerful. James chapter 4, one verse, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God doesn't want us to be sad, but there are times to weep. There are times when he wants us to see where we are and our sin and our undoneness. And when we draw nigh to him and we allow ourselves to be afflicted and mourn for that sake, God looks at that. God hears that. God knows that. He responds to that. And then I want to just look at some scriptures. Maybe I will turn to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, and I think I mentioned this the first night, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Talking about God, or at least that's the application I get. He brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. That's our God. That's what he wants to do. He loves. He loves us, and he loves to be with us. Isn't it an amazing thing? Us sinners. And God loves to be with us. How much more should we love to be with him? And then Psalm 23. That's not just a chapter to read at funerals, by the way. I just love that. Psalm 23, very familiar chapter. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean to you and I? What does a shepherd do? David was a shepherd. David loved the sheep, his sheep. David risked his life to protect the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. And because he is, I lack nothing. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me beside in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We need restoration, don't we? We need restoring at times. And God is right there to do that for us. He wants to do that. It's his heart, it's his longing to restore us time and time again. He knows we need that. And he leads us beside those still waters, that calmness, that serene. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5 is really what drew me to this chapter. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Can you picture with me that a little bit? Here we are sitting at the feet of Jesus, sitting around the table with him, and all the principalities and powers of darkness have to look on. What do you think they think? They see the joy. They see the laughter. They see just a good time. And it stirs them up. Because they can't partake of it. Thou preparest a table. We all like to feast, don't we? The Lord loves to feast with us. Amen. He's the one that provides these feasts for us. My cup runneth over. Thou anointest my head with oil, that my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell. I will live with him. I can live with him. I can walk with him. I can commune with him. I can eat with him. I can sleep with him. Because he's my shepherd. He knows everything about me. He knows my needs. He knows all our needs. I'm going to just have to skip some of these. Psalm 36. Psalm 36, verse 5 through 10. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preparest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall ye see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Chapter 46, 1 through 5. God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, or the church of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. That's our God. What a refuge we have. What a hiding place we have. What a fortress. And then Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. And thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And again, this is only for the child of God. This is for those that are after, their heart seeks after Him. It's not for the casual onlooker, but those that get serious with Him. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Psalm 145, 18 and 19. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. And then over in the next chapter, verse 11. I'm sorry. Must have wrote that down wrong. It's 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. I want to encourage us to take hope in God. I want to encourage us that there is a way for us to live in the fullness of Christ, in the fullness of what He prepared for us. And when we do that, we are showing to principalities and powers the awesomeness of our God and His love for those whom He died for. In Proverbs 10:24, it says, the desire of the righteous will be granted to him. Philippians 2:13 says, it is good that it is God which works in us both to do and to will of his good pleasure. To will and to do of his good pleasure. It is in this fulfillment, in this satisfaction, in this sacred place of the Most High that the precious gifts of the Spirit of God can operate to the edification of the body of Christ. Sometimes we want to jump to the gifts but they are the gifts of the Spirit. They are not our gifts. They're just given to us to function in and to operate in. And they only come by the Spirit of God. That Holy Spirit of God that brings holiness into our lives. And they cannot function to the edification of the body any other way. So my longing tonight is to bring us to the banqueting table and the banqueting house. He calls it one place the banqueting table, the other place the banqueting house. We need to know how to get there so that the gifts of the Holy Spirit can function in our lives for the blessing and edification of the church or the body of Christ. God Almighty has for his people a divine experience that quickens our very being, a divine life flowing through our beings that will be sufficient for all time, for all need. When God is for you, who can be against you? Oh, to believe God and to rest in those promises. To rest our full being on his word. His word, the authority of God's word, the power of God's word, the anointing of God's word. I believe in these days we live in, we need God's word more than ever. We need to live by God's word. Paul says in Romans, what he promised, he's also able to perform. He's not promising anything to us that he's not able to do. John 1:16 says, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. I'm trying to speak a little louder. I'm told that, and I realize my wife keeps telling me that. Sometimes when I want to really say something important, when I sense God's presence, I get quiet. And sometimes that isn't the best for the audience, so. What we receive of Christ through the Holy Spirit is meant to be shared with others in the body of Christ. And with that, I want to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'll just start in verse 1. I don't know where else to break in. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and they are mercies. Do we know them? Are we experiencing them? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because of his mercies. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, how we need that in our day. For I say, through the grace given to me, not because of who he is, but through the grace given to him, to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I'm not sure that measure of faith caught my attention, and I didn't really look into it. Probably some of you have a lot more insight on that than what I have right now. But God gives us a measure of faith. And I tend to believe that that measure of faith is according to how much we can receive. Probably God would want to give us more at times if we could receive it, or maybe if we could profit the body with. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many, are one body. Are you getting that? And everyone members one of another. There's that one of another again. Do you know that we cannot do without each other? If I'm a member, we like to say we're members of Christ, and we are. But we're members of one another too. Some of you might like that, some of you might not like it so good. But we better get to liking it, because that's the way it is. We can't change it. So we being many are one body in Christ. We are one body in Christ. We're not many bodies. And everyone members one of another. Somehow I think that should just set us right back to where we belong. I mean, no one can boast. No one can think they have something better than another person. We're dependent on one another. Yes, our dependence is on Christ. But you cannot take his body away from him. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. There's that measure or proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You notice, not one of these, he uses the same thing. On ministry, let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching, exhorting on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. What does that word liberally is actually on my middle margin of my Bible here. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Then he goes on and says, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And then the next verse yet. Seems like that's all over in the Bible, isn't it? Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I don't want to go to Romans 15. I just felt like this, reading this and just in the air, especially in the thought of gifts and so on, and what edifies the body. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Back in chapter 12, we read the other night about condescending to men of low estate, bringing ourselves down for the sake of other people. Let every one of us please his neighbor. For his good to edification. I never realized how much and how much emphasis the Word of God puts on others before us, before ourselves. I mean, that's just everywhere, it seems like. And it's probably one of the hardest things for us, isn't it? Because it takes the cross. It takes to be crucified with him for that to be a reality in our lives. For even Christ pleased not himself. Well, he sure didn't, or he would never came. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We must know that these gifts are results of the Holy Spirit living out the life of Christ in us. The fruit and the gifts are not a part of anyone who the Holy Spirit is not abiding and living in. And so they can't function without him dwelling in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Spirit, same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, or to profit the body with. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God asks us to earnestly desire the gifts. Not for what we can get out of them. Whoever and And we all have a gift. Not a one of us is exempt. You can never say you don't have any gift. Because God puts them in the body. It's not us that does it. It's Him. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, He just brings that out over and over again. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. That's His job. Our job is to receive that which He gives us. And to be content. And to edify the body with. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. And so if that's true in the natural body, it's also true in the spiritual body. That's why He's bringing this out. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So it's not, we better not overlook any. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. For whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. I cannot hurt one part of my body that the rest of my body doesn't feel it. And it ought to be the same in the body of Christ. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. If that's not the case, then it's an indication there's a cancer or something somewhere that is not allowing the body to function right. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And that way is the way of love. It's amazing that he sticks chapter 13 in there. Basically devotes the whole chapter to loving one another and showing us how to love. And then he goes back to chapter 14 and starts again. With the gifts. As the church is considered to be the body of Christ, individual members are seen as part of the body. So for the church to function properly, every member must do his or her part in a harmonious spirit of cooperation with other members. We cannot afford to be individualistic and think our gift or our part is better than someone else's. Can we see the beauty of the body of Christ? There's only one way to please our Heavenly Father in the body of Christ, and that's to just submit ourselves one to another. Whatever our part is, it is not more important than someone else's part. And in fact, he brings out that those things that we tend to think are less important, God puts more honor on those than even the others. And I don't know if I want to start in somehow I just feel like closing there. Can we function in a way that pleases God? Yes, we can. God gives us the ability to do that. God gives us the grace to do that. God gives us, it says he strengthens us with might in the inner man. And that is to function for his glory in the body of Christ. God bless you. It's been good to be with you. It really has. Thanks for challenging my life. You have done that. May God bless you abundantly. I love you all.